Good morning, Delaware. It is a sunny morning. It was a gorgeous drive in today. There was this beautiful swath of like peach color in the east, and I was watching the moon set in the west. It was an uncloudy morning.
Oh, goodness.
It was just gorgeous driving in this morning. So I hope you're having a good morning, Nicole. How you doing?
I am having a good morning. I have some leftover Eudora's yummies from our author visit yesterday. And one of the treats in the box was an oat bar, although they called it mini oat bars. And in my box, I got one giant oat bar.
Yeah, it was about the size of third base.
It was really... So I'm going to cut it into quarters, and I'm going to have four of my mini oat bars.
Very good. Yes. I have to say, I am still kind of riding on the glow of our talk with Annie yesterday. She was such a good interview.
Yeah.
And then this morning I got an email from her thanking us for having her and saying she got new questions from our listeners and from the people who participated in the webinar. So that made it more fun for her.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah. So please, I'm sure you should read her books. And at some point I'd love to have her back when her new book comes out. And also, the Friends of the Library, who sponsored this one, have a great plans for an April dual author visit, which could be really interesting. We may be looking at a different setup for it, too. So do stay tuned for that. We are got to thank Gene Whitlinger, who's been setting up these interactions with us for the authors. So thank you, Gene. Thank you, Friends of the Library, for doing this. So our guest today is going to be Annie Pasma, who works in our Youth Services Department at Delaware. Hi, Annie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. You're coming through loud and clear. How are you doing this morning, Annie?
Good. I'm great.
And we wouldn't be able to do that without the excellent ministrations of our friend and engineer and host here, Gage Tellis. Thank you, Gage.
I like the intro.
You're welcome. So Annie's going to be talking about a couple of things that we're doing, her podcast and our Delaware's Got Talent for Kids. That's coming up, too. So we'll be talking about that in the second half of the show. But, Nicole, what you reading these days?
Well, I was just sharing before we got on air that I actually, normally this time of year, I am a judge for the Audies. And the Audies are an industry award that is given to books of all types of genres, age levels, everything like that. Books that are, read and consumed by listening.
Right.
And so they, normally this time of year, I judge the final round. And so I can kind of give a clue about what I'm reading and, without saying what I'm judging and what category and all those sorts of things, because that's under top secret priorities. however, this year I'm a judge for original works. So there's nothing that we would be able to check out from our library. So it really doesn't do us any good to talk about it on the show.
This is kind of annoying that Audible does this. That doesn't make things available through the libraries the way recorded books and other companies do.
Yeah.
They have these exclusive rights to some of this material, and we are not allowed to share it.
Mm-hmm.
We have no way of actually downloading it or making it available for you to download other than pointing you to Amazon and letting you buy it.
Right, right. And two of the titles are Audible exclusives. The other three are not. So I need to do some research to see if you can get them in like a CD or a downloadable format. But they're made specifically, the category that I'm judging is made specifically for audio consuming only.
It was never actually in print.
It was never in print. It was only made to go straight to listening.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. But I have something else. It's light. It's fluffy. It's perfect for this time of year. Take a hint, Danny Brown.
Oh, and Danny Brown. I thought it said Dan Brown, the guy who wrote the Da Vinci Code.
No.
Okay.
The cover is blue and yellow and has a man holding a woman and like carrying her like over the threshold, like kind of thing. So
okay.
No, not
my
that.
Bad.
No, Danny, D-A-N-I, for short for Danica.
That's it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So take a hint, Danny Brown. This is by Talia Hibbert. Hibbert. And this is number two in a series, the Brown Sisters series by Talia Hibbert. The first one was Get a Life, Chloe Brown. So Chloe Brown, Danny Brown. And then I just took a peek at the back of this book. There is another one coming up in spring 2021. So spring of this year is going to be the third in the Brown Sister series.
Is this Charlotte Brown? So to be take a hint, Charlie Brown?
Oh, that's a good one. Nope, this one is Eve. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to title that one. Actually, do they say just if it's going to be take a hint, Eve Brown? Let me see. Nope, it doesn't say or anything like that. So anyway, Danny Brown, she is British. She is a professor in university. She is a PhD student for basically her subject matter is kind of like feminism and racism and, you know, studying it primarily in the West in America after slavery. But she, that's kind of everything that she's all about. Mm-hmm. She is really not into relationships. She doesn't like commitment. She doesn't have time for it. She needs to finish her doctorate, mm-hmm. and she needs to, you know, she really needs to pay attention to all of that. However, that doesn't mean that she doesn't like to have some fun with people who she meets in a romantic and, you know, all that good way. I don't read romance often, so I'm like, I don't know how to talk about this appropriately.
Yeah.
I don't know how to talk about this. It makes me flustered. At Danny's university, in the building where she teaches, there is a man who is a security guard. His name is Zafir Ansari, and he is a former professional rugby player. He is... He left rugby rather suddenly. He had a pretty traumatic loss in his family that he suffered, and it really, you know, it really hit him a blow, and so he just needed to step away from the sport very quickly. He's Muslim, and so he already had a lot of attention paid to him by the press because he was, like, the only Muslim rugby player, and so he was just kind of a unicorn when it came to that anyway. And then when he had this traumatic incident, they paid even more attention to him. So he's very reserved. And so he just took the simple job as a security guard mm-hmm. at the university. One day, the university building is doing a fire drill. And this is a building that normally would house a lot of the, like, biomedical engineer, chemical engineering, those sorts of students. Danny's English lit class just happened to be there because there was space. And they do this fire drill, this alarm, and Danny is certain that it's probably something toxic, and it goes like a chemical, a spill or something like that, and it goes off when she's in the elevator. And so she's in the elevator, and the alarm goes off, and the elevator stops, and it's between floors, and she can't get the doors open, and she's like, I'm dying, I'm going to die, I'm inhaling the fumes, I already know all these terrible things are happening, and goodbye, cruel world. She's actually tried to pry the doors open, and by trying to pry the doors open and the emergency button's not working, she's like broken her nails, her fingers are bloody, you know, she looks a mess, and all this has happened in like 2 minutes. Zafir and Danny, they chat every day when she comes in because she's in the building every day and he's on guard every day, and so they're friendly, and she brings him coffee and he brings her tea, and he's evacuating the building and he's like, where's Danica? And so he takes his job very seriously. He's a very serious man. He goes back inside and he hears, like, help coming from the elevator. And so, you know, he's a rugby player, so he's a brute. So he, like, forces the doors open and he swoops up Danny. And so he's carrying her in his arms. And, you know, he's parading her out of the building because she's, like, woozy. She's like, I'm dying. He's like, you're not dying. This is a drill. And she's like, well, I don't know. The placebo effect, I'm dying. When he carries her out of the building, it causes such a scene that all of the students are filming it, and it becomes this viral thing. They get a hashtag. It's Dr. Rugby, or I think, yeah, that's what they call it, Dr. Rugby, because they know that he plays rugby, BAE, like my bae, yeah. And doctor, like what Danny's going towards. And so they become Dr. Rugby, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, couple goals, and it's wonderful, and everything like that. But they're not a couple. So, they both kind of are like, well, this is kind of fun. And they kind of have a thing for each other anyway. And we find out that Zafir has a nonprofit that he runs. And he's like, huh, this could actually be really good for my nonprofit. I'm getting donations. People are recognizing me. And so they decide that they're going to fake a relationship. And we all know how faking a relationship goes.
I saw Bridgerton, yeah.
Yeah. So all the things that you think could go along with that are going along with
of
that.
Of course.
It's very fun.
It sounds like it, yeah.
It is a fun romp. It is Take a Hint, Danny Brown.
So Annie, are you reading a fun romp? Or are you reading something very serious now? What are you reading?
Yeah, so I'm just finishing up this biography of William Wilberforce.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, so he was the responsible for abolishing the slave trade in England. And I'm to the point where he has spent 20 years of his life fighting this horrible, horrible cruelty. He's made it. And you would think that, like, okay, he's like, he can retire now. It's like, nope. Like, I'm going to attack the racist views that English people have of Indians from India, you know, because they were colonized.
Sure.
And so, like, presented this bill, you know, that you know, why widows cannot be burned with their husbands, because that was, you know, that was a big cultural thing. And I just, like, I love the movie Amazing Grace, which is a movie about him, and was inspired to read a biography of him. And he is so cool. He's just, like, way cool. We need more politicians like William Wilberforce, who, like, was not, he just stood on principle. Like, if it was against his conscience, he couldn't vote for it, even if that meant he didn't go along party lines. I mean, he's just, like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And of course, he's the person for whom Wilberforce University down in Southwest Ohio is named.
Oh.
One of the two historically black colleges and universities here in Ohio.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. What's the title of the book, Annie?
It's just called Amazing Grace.
Oh, okay. Great. So is it the book or the movie based on the book? Is that how it came about, or did it just happen that
way?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. It was written in 2007 by Eric Metaxas.
Okay.
And I think the movie came out in 2010.
All right.
Oh, wow.
So good. All right. Well, thank you. So I'm reading something just for fun because I think I have been a cartoon fan since I was a fetus. I mean, I have loved cartoons my entire life. And there's a new book out that just came out this year called Wild Minds, The Artists and Rivalries That Inspired the Golden Age of Animation. It was written by Reed Mittenbuehler. I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. And it is a pretty comprehensive history of animation from Winsor McCay, who really started animation around the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. He was a cartoonist for William Randolph Hearst, and he created some of the first cartoons ever made, all hand-drawn, every individual cell, an individual drawing. And then what he did was he turned it into a vaudeville act. So he would be talking on stage to the dinosaur that he created, and so it became a really popular vaudeville act. And he sort of got the ball rolling for animation. And then things took off really quickly. Lots of ideas came about during the silent era. They started using reusable backgrounds where they would use a celluloid screen over a drawing and just change that one drawing. Mm-hmm. They could use those cells. They could erase them. They could clean them and then reuse them because celluloid was really expensive. They came up with the peg system where the background gets hooked to these two pegs, and then the cell also gets hooked to them so that everything stays in place so when they photograph it, it doesn't get all jumpy.
Right.
They came up with the idea of rotoscoping, where they would film a human doing the action and then trace over to animate it. The multiplane camera, so that you have an effect like like Superman swooping in on something or a leaf falling in the forest. That was an early invention. And then when sound came out, they were trying to dub the sound to cartoons that had already been drawn, and then they realized it would work a lot better if we do the sound first and then do the illustration. So all of those innovations came out basically in the first decade, except the pre-recorded sound, because that didn't happen right away. So there were the early cartoon stars, people like Felix the Cat, who was one of the first, and he was a superstar. I mean, he was as popular as like Ilsa and Anna were after Frozen came out. You couldn't move without Felix the Cat. The guy who created him went to Europe on a vacation, and when he got off the boat, there was these huge crowds. He couldn't figure out who they were there for. They were there for him.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's awesome.
And then, you know, Betty Boop came along, and there was a big lawsuit over her because the singer Helen Kane swore that Betty Boop had been based on her, and then may have been, but she lost the lawsuit because she had stolen her act from somebody else. So, and then, of course, Mickey Mouse was probably the biggest cartoon star. He never would have come along if Disney hadn't lost his first studio to the guys who funded him and wanted him out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, we talk about the rise of the studio system with Disney, and Warner Brothers had Leon Schlesinger Productions that came up with Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck and, or I'm sorry, Daffy Duck and Porky Pig and all those guys. Paramount, who owned the Fleischer Brothers Studios, they came up with Betty Boop and Popeye. And they did the one of the first feature films, feature animation, Gulliver's Travels, mm-hmm. which came out right after Snow White and at about the same time as Pinocchio. MGM had Hanna-Barbera doing Tom and Jerry and people like that. And then there were a few independent ones like Walter Lantz, who did Woody Woodpecker, and Paul Terry, who did Mighty Mouse and things like that. So they talk about all the different milestones that happened during the during animation and some of the key people like Mel Blanc, the man of a thousand voices, Carl Stalling, who created the great soundtracks to the Warner Brothers cartoon, Roy Disney, who was the financial brains behind Walt, mm-hmm. Otto Mesmer, who actually did most of the work that Pat Sullivan got all the credit for Felix the Cat and Betty Boop and people like that. And then it goes right into the modern cartoon era with television cartoons, how things got really bad in the late 50s and early 60s, some of the really cheap animation that was done both in Japan and the United States, mm-hmm. where basically it was not much more than the lips moving, but then how it came back. Disney started really putting attention to animated films again, and television brought in new things like The Simpsons and actually, yes, we were looking for future leaders, and that included The Simpsons.
Yeah,
and, things like BoJack Horseman and other, and then the impact of computer animation and computer generated imagery. So, if you're interested at all in cartoons and in illustrated storytelling, I can't recommend this book highly enough. It's called Wild Minds. It's brand new, and again, it's the author's name, if I can get to the right page that
Reed
I wrote here.
Reed Mittenbuehler.
Yes, that's right. Reed Mittenbuehler, and it's a terrific book, so I recommend it highly. We will be back with Annie in just a moment to talk about the Delaware's Got Talent for kids, so hang on and stay tuned. And welcome back. We're here with Annie Pasmuff, who is a youth services associate, I believe, is her title in the Youth Services Department at Delaware. Hi, Annie. How you doing?
Hi, I'm really well. Thank you.
I was going to say, she'll correct us, right?
Yeah, she will, I'm sure.
It's a specialist.
I'm sorry. We're working on all the position descriptions and everything, and I'm like, I don't even remember what my title is. So,
Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah. I'm getting business cards made up that say that. So anyway, tell us about what you're working on with Delaware Kids Got Talent.
Yeah. So every year, I host a talent show for Delaware County. Well, mainly let me rephrase that, for Delaware, like the main branch. But since, you know, we have to do things virtually, it's open to all of Delaware County. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to see some new faces. Usually I see the same faces, every year, and, you know, the same talent, sometimes the same song. But I'm hoping that I'm really hoping that we can expand a little bit this year. Like, I feel like this is a great opportunity, to feel more like cohesive. So, what we want to do is if you go on our website, there is a link. If you scroll down, we've got it right there on the homepage.
Yeah. It looks like a cute little girl singing.
Yeah, it does.
Singing her heart out.
Yeah. It's really cute. So between now and February 8th, just record a video, take a picture, or somehow document, your kid's amazing skills. And then, once your files are ready, just upload them to be a part of the talent show. So the deadline is 11:59 on Monday, February 8th. 11:59.
Is that AM or PM, Annie?
PM.
So what kind of kind of talents are you looking for?
Oh man, all kinds of talents. One year I had magicians. I had like three Ooh. Magicians.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Everything's disappearing.
I mean, it was just so fun. The mom came up to me and said, he's so excited. One of the moms, he's so excited because we only let him do this at his sister's birthday party. Oh. And sister doesn't really like it. So like, this is just a cool opportunity. So then he told his friends, and his friend magicians came and showed us their talent. And it was spectacular. It
he
was
had so like a whole kids magician club. That's awesome.
So great. It was so great. So
I see a children's book series.
Well,
about the magicians club, kids, a group of kids who get together, who are magicians and solve mysteries in their neighborhood. Sort of.
I feel like Neil Patrick Harris started that.
Oh,
I feel like Neil Patrick Harris already beat you to that.
He beats me to so many things.
I know, he's quick. He's quick.
I was too old to be Doogie Howser and everything. Anyway, keep going. I'm sorry, Annie.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The age that we're looking for, kind of like 6 to, 12 or 13. I kind of figure that 14 and up are not going to be super interested in this talent show.
Probably not. But
I'm not going to turn away anyone. Mm-hmm. Wants to perform. So
yeah,
so,
we've talked about this a little bit, Annie, because we were like, okay, if we're gonna do it virtually, how are we gonna do it virtually? And so we talked about, like, okay, you can take a video, you can upload it to the website, and you mentioned between now and 2 Mondays from now, February 8th at 11:59 p.m. Submitted at DelawareLibrary.org. But the other thing is, you might have taken a video of something that your kid did over the past year. And you could submit that too. Like, I know my daughter got my 6-year-old daughter got an electric guitar for Christmas.
Oh.
And my husband is teaching her how to do power chords. And so we, I could just take a 10-second video of her power chord and
wind doing Megadeth. I need to see it. Yeah.
But anything really in the past year, if you feel like uploading that, then that would absolutely be something that we would accept in the talent show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So then what you're going to do is take all of these things and make a video compilation of them rather than have them do them live virtually, because the technical requirements for that would just be ridiculous.
Right. Well, and then stage fright and all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
You get to do multiple takes, too, if you're doing them at home.
That's right.
So if the magic trick doesn't quite work the first time, the it can be redone.
Yeah.
So. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So so what date will these be shown then? If they have to be submitted by 11:59 p.m. on February 8th, when is the plan to release the video?
The video is going to be released on February 18th at 6:30. Now, you do have to, it's going to be a watch party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
It's not going to be posted on YouTube or any of our other social media. So if you want to come, then you have to be registered for the watch party as well. So it's kind of like a two-step process. You have to upload your child's talent, and then you also have to register for the watch party.
Yeah.
So will it never be on our, so you've got to catch it when it's there. So tell your parents, grandparents, neighbors, mm-hmm. all that they have to get in for that. Okay.
Yeah. We really wanted to make people comfortable for their privacy of their kids. And
And I was also thinking about copyright.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So.
Yeah, it kind of helps us skirt all those things.
Yeah, good. I like that. Yeah. Yes, let's skirt.
Yes.
Annie, I also want to mention, because this is something that you do, and that is your podcast when you talk about books. Can you just mention that real quickly, too? Because we're running out of time, but I didn't want to have you on here and not mention this. So go ahead.
Yeah. So it's called What to Read Wednesdays with Annie, and it's a reader's advisory podcast from the staff. They will send me in their recommendations. I either as in a written form and I read it, or they'll have a recording. Last week was the first week that I did my first interview, and it was with Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
The quality is not fantastic, but I'm working on it. But yeah, it's really, really, it's so fun. I just really, really enjoy doing reader's advisory. And so if you're looking to, find some recommendations, we've got that. And we also started our personalized picks. So if you don't know what to read next and you're stuck, There's a form you can fill out on our website, and then we will, our team will come up with 5 to 7 titles that you can put on hold and pick up at your library.
Great.
It's really great.
Thank you so much, Annie. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Annie Pasma, Youth Services Specialist at the Delaware right. Library. So thanks very much. We got just a minute or two left. So is there anything in particular you want to plug this week, Nicole?
I think you need to know about two things. The one thing that you need to know about is the toddler and preschool dance party coming up on Thursday, February 4th at 6:30. You do need to register in advance. It is live and interactive. And we're talking about love monsters. Love bugs, love monsters. And then if you have a child in high school who is considering college and they want to take the ACT and they want to learn everything that they need to know about it, we are partnering with Prep Accelerator. Friday, February 5th, Prep Accelerator is doing an ACT crash course at 4 o'clock. It is a long one, 4 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. It's a 4.5-hour crash course on the ACT.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to register for it on a website, DelawareLibrary.org. And
great.
You can find everything else there.
So we'll have another interesting week ahead, and we will look forward to helping kids get ready for that ACT. And so thank you very much, Annie. We appreciate you being on the show. Nicole, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Gage, thank you for making things move so smoothly. And we will see you in the parking lot. Take care.